We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
It's amazing that we've had this much of a conversation talking about higher priced forwards and how their floors really aren't that high. And we literally have not said the name Gylfi Sigurdsson yet.
Because I don't think he starts.
To show how much he's fallen. If he starts, would you play him?
He's an option.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire. Joining us Tuesday, June 30th by Jordan Cooper to talk about Wednesday's Premier League slate. Jordan, we have a $100,000 GPP for today's showdown, which is Brighton at home against Manchester United. This is a day after we had a $100,000 GPP for Crystal Palace against Burnley. But we have a three-game slate on Wednesday, a classic slate, that's also $100,000. It's weird to see these figures knowing that it's going to be like $10,000 in a month.
Right, because, I mean, with MLB and NBA coming back and then the NFL season coming strong, depending on what's going on with the country, who knows? Who knows what ends up happening? That, you know, I'm glad to see new people playing the soccer contests.
But it's primarily new people
playing GPP.
No, there are new people playing cash.
Really?
Yes.
Well, maybe in the low stakes.
Maybe not in your, your stratosphere. But there are lots of new names. And I found myself, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I found myself in a very good niche, knock on wood, of showdown cash that never existed before. Which is nice because they're showdown all the time.
I don't mind showdown cash. I play showdown cash.
I didn't play it much, and it didn't seem like there were many people who ever played it. But now that these contests are so big, there are people who are not only joining these top-heavy GPPs, but they're also playing cash. Some, at least.
But I think the edge is still in GPPs. I've downloaded some of the CSVs for some of these contests, and there's so many dead lineups.
Yeah. There are.
And when I mean dead lineups, I don't mean lineups that have min cash equity. I'm talking about ones that need too much stuff to go. Like, I mean, I see a lot of lineups where I'm going to jam in like the three most expensive forwards and then literally punt everywhere else.
Yep.
With like two underdog 2,700 center backs. And I'm like, this, both of them need to score. I mean, like, you need too much to happen. You would need enough points unless your three forwards all get hat tricks. Like, it's just going to be very hard to get a ceiling score with guys that have a range of outcomes where most of their range is in like the 1 to 3 point area.
I was just about to say, yeah, 0 to 3. Yeah. It's, I think,
and they're not even correlated. And you get,
yeah,
I've seen lineups where someone's playing three guys from one team, the front three line players from a side, and then playing like the underdog center back of that, of the side that they're playing against. And then like another, like a mid-price center back of a completely other team, uncorrelated with the goalkeeper. Just like, you need too much individual stuff to happen. And like, center backs just don't score enough that you want to have like three in one lineup.
Right.
This is for classic slates. Obviously, like in a showdown, anything could happen. It's one game. So this could be the game that Ben Mee scores. Well, it was yesterday, so there mm-hmm. you go, right? But that's why I say that, like, yeah, we focus on the podcast a lot with cash construction, but understand that even if you're playing GPPs, understanding the cash construction gets you to understand the chalk construction.
Right.
And also, it also doesn't mean that, oh, I can't play any of those eight players.
Mm-hmm.
It means that, okay, increase your variance by having more upside plays, correlating players together, and then fill out the rest. A lot of times I start my lineups, like when I'm hand building, with, let me start with the correlation. Okay, people aren't going to be on as much on this team. They have a 6K forward that if they score a goal in one action, like they can make value. And obviously they brace upside. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to pair that guy with the cheap fullback. Okay, I get a cheap fullback because that could be a goal assist. I play the goalkeeper, and maybe they have a cheap midfielder also. And I'm like, okay, there that is. If that team wins 3-0, 4-0, and I get a goal and assist or whatever out of my players, like, I'm good. The rest of the spots, what's the best value? Mm-hmm. Just plug them in. Like, it doesn't matter at that point.
Right.
Like, I already have enough correlation and enough leverage that, like, I'm now not going to pair that with, okay, where's the next high variance situation? Like, no, I could just play Lucas Digne, right? I could just play him instead of going for a guy that he needs a goal to get to 12 points rather than someone that has a floor that allows him to get to 12 points without a goal or assist.
Right. Yeah, I think people ultimately, like those dead lineups, it's like any mention of like a guy's floor and you're like, he must not be a GPP play. And it's like, that's not how it works.
Well, not on DraftKings. On FanDuel, maybe a little bit more so.
Yeah.
No one has a floor on FanDuel.
Right. Well, that's not true. Underdog center backs.
Right. But I'm talking from the forward midfield position.
Yeah. You want the defensive midfielder playing out of position as a center back.
In a defender spot.
Well, you can if you have a floor, if you have a floor guy who's going to have 11 clearances, you're fine
right.
in a midfield
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, sure.
Yay.
This slate, I'm glad all the games are on at the same time.
Yeah, I mean...
We have the stat... I mean, basically this... This slate ultimately hinges on the status of one player.
Yeah. Yeah. James Madison, and then we move on.
Right. I mean, there's a status of two other players also.
Sure.
But the
but
main
he's
one.
The he's the most yeah. important.
Right. So the games on this slate, the biggest favorite is Arsenal at home, currently -217 against Norwich.
Yep.
And that's the highest total on the slate, which is like around 2.75.
I think DraftKings switched around their home and away teams on like the top bar.
Oh, they did?
Which is helpful.
Oh. The next biggest favorite, you have two pick'em games. The next biggest favorite would be Bournemouth at home, plus 143 against Newcastle. That's the lowest total.
It has like a negative one.
That's two. And then Everton at home, plus 158 favorite over Leicester. That totals 2.25. And that actually, that line actually flipped. So Leicester opened as the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's moved around. But it's a pick 'em. It's close enough.
Yep.
If Madison does not play, I think this is I want to use the term fairly in quotation marks. I think it's a fairly straightforward cash construction.
I agree.
With the style of construction, like your salary distribution.
Yes. Yeah, the players are going to be, could be a little different, but
right,
they're going
right.
to be in
you
the same range.
You could have a 2v2, right? You could be, can I take this and then move around the goalkeeper or your second defender? The second defender spot could end up being a mess of people, could be a lot of different
players. Right.
But ultimately, it comes down to, do you pay up at midfield? And then what you do at forward. The forward for a floor this late is garbage.
Yes.
You'd rather play more midfielders this slate, but depending on the status of certain players, like most likely you're paying down in midfield.
Yeah, so I mean let's just start there because we
okay. Let's start at midfield.
Yes, we're beating around the midfield bush a little too much. So Madison's the most expensive at 10,000. If he doesn't start, Tielemans most likely gets most of their set pieces, and he's 4,100.
Right. He's going to be one of the highest owned players on the slate.
Right. I think there are three situations you have to look at. That's one of them. The other one is with Newcastle.
Right.
If Richie doesn't play, he's at 7,700. Then you can play Jonjo Shelvey at 59. And then the other one is whether Emiliano Buendia or Andre Duda start for Norwich. So Buendia is 8,700 and Duda is 6,100. So they're like, you can play, like if Madison and Buendia and Richie start, it's almost impossible to play all three of them. And it's possible that none of them start. And you can play the three lower guys, although you also have Danny Ceballos from Arsenal there, who is fine. He's at 6,300. He's in that same, it's basically Ceballos, Duda, and Shelvey all together. So construction-wise, like, obviously depends. Like, if Madison doesn't play, that doesn't mean you're like, oh, I'll just play Buendia. Like, you could also just play three of the cheaper guys and none of the upper-tier guys, even if they, like... You're not going to play Duda if Buendia starts. Most likely they don't start together anyway. But like you're probably not playing Shelvey if Richie starts. But you might not play Richie either. Like it just seems like it's just leading you to the path of paying down for the three midfielders, even though on like a, if everybody was fit, you would want to play all of the expensive ones.
Right. But also you have to determine the fact that the forward pool is quite disgusting.
Yes.
So like basically if Madison's in, you're basically saying, do I want to play Madison or do I want to play a high priced Arsenal forward?
Right.
And I'd rather play Madison.
Yes.
But the thing is, you still have to fill two forward spots.
Mm-hmm. I think for cash, there's basically four midfielders that you will want to play and maybe a fifth. And it's just a matter of like, regardless of the injuries, like you're going to, I think, because like if one guy's in, you're not going to play the other guy. So it's essentially like a group of five, whether who the members are is different. But I think that there are essentially five that you're really considering. Maybe, or did I say four or five? Five or six, somewhere around that range. But like, you're not going to have any problems filling midfield spots.
Right. I mean, and also we have to include, because he's down there also, of Junior Stanislas.
Mm-hmm.
at 4,300.
I was going to, Brooks was the one I was thinking of, but that's the same idea. Like what, right. A Burnmouth set piece taker is in that group.
Right. Now, if you play Stanislaus, I mean, he's likely not to play 90,
mm-hmm.
but as we've seen in recent evidence, you know, he'll take everything. Brooks is actually the doubt for this game. I mean, Callum Wilson, they're really in trouble. Beat up. Right. They're really in trouble. But Tielemans, like, if Madison doesn't start, like, Tielemans becomes the second highest owned player on the slate.
Yeah.
I think Lucas Dean has the highest ownership.
Because
he's defender eligible, and why not plug in Everton set piece taker?
Yeah, I think that'll be close, the two of them.
Right.
Just because Tielemans is so much cheaper than
right.
he should
but
be.
I still think you'll see... the two midfield spots being occupied by Tielemans and Stanislaus, and then Dean at defense. Then it's what you do at utility.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on, do you pay up at forward or do you pay down at forward? Do you pay down at forward in one spot and get Buendia or Richie if he's in?
Mm-hmm.
Or if Richie's not in, you go down and you go, do I want... Or Buendia's not in, you're like, do I want one of Ceballos, Duda, or Shelby?
Yeah.
They're right there, right all next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say all the guys start. We have other guys starting where it takes these guys out of play. And you go, well, is Mark Albrighton starting?
Mm-hmm.
May not be on set pieces, but for 5,400, you know, he obviously is a cross machine. Because mm-hmm. we got Damari Gray if he's in, because they're playing so many games, so you're gonna have to expect some amount of rotation.
Yeah.
But I think those are the options. I mean, I think we just, hey, if he starts, Willock could be an option. It's 3,900
for sure. He takes sets when he's on. A little FA Cup action.
Right. I think I'm less likely this late to target Norwich options. Or use salary for Norwich players.
I was going to say, I think... I actually don't think Cantwell's that bad at 4,000. But
well, he's lower salary. So right. It's like McLean or Cantwell or Onel Hernandez or someone like that. It's like, okay, it's 4K. But, I mean...
I think for cash, it's all just a wasted spot.
Right. If Richie's in, I'd rather play Richie at 7,700 than Buendia at 8,700 if he was in.
Yeah. Saying that, I think Buendia still gets there.
Right.
I think Buendia is a perfectly good play.
I think he's a perfectly good floor play. I think his upside is limited.
I mean, Arsenal are awful.
Yeah, but Norwich is ridiculously awful.
Yeah, but they at least like try. They produce points. Fantasy
right, well,
points.
Arsenal has the problem that no one has a floor.
Right.
Like for their prices, if they mm-hmm. were cheaper, sure. But like you're looking at going, I don't know how my guys aren't going to get there without a goal and goal or an assist.
Yeah, I described them, that's what I did in the Discord, that they feel like Dortmund, but they don't have the goals.
Right.
There's like a lot of guys that you're like, oh, he's good. But you're like, his floor is just not there. And there's just, I see no reason to play him.
I think all the GPP, construction in the instance that Madison doesn't play, that Richie doesn't play, when we get those like cheaper midfielders, the GPP construction is the reverse approach.
Yes.
You're not taking guys that like have floors in the midfield. I'm talking about taking guys like Harvey Barnes or Yosi Perez or Harry Wilson or Alan St. Maximin.
Yeah, that's my boy.
Like these types of guys that you do that, and then you go down at forward, and you play like the mid-priced forwards that have goal upside.
Yep.
A little bit more balanced build. That would be the GPP approach, because really in this mid-range, other than Ceballos, Duda, and Shelby, depending on who else is in the lineups, like these are floor-oriented plays.
Yeah.
Sure, they could show up with a goal. Jonjo could have a screamer.
Sure.
Right. But like Barnes, Wilson, St. Maximin, these are guys that They could have a goal and assist. They could put up a 20-plus point game.
Say Maximin is a good floor player. He doesn't get enough credit for his floor.
No, true, but he's 6,500.
Yeah. I'm saying if he scores a goal, you're not finishing with 12. You're going to get 18 or 19.
Right. But I'd rather, see, in GPPs, I'd rather, assuming that the, you know, Madison, Richie, you know, they don't, Buendia, they're not in. I don't think it's a matter of, I'm going to make a lineup, like my cash lineup, and instead of having Tielemans, I'm going to take Jefferson Lerma.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm differentiating in the low range.
Yes.
Unless it's a forward. I don't think that you're pivoting off. You're using the low-priced midfielders like Tielemans, Stanislas, Shelby up there a little as you're plugging them in, like that they're around your high variance options.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like, oh, instead of playing Stanislas, I'm playing Ndidi or I'm playing McLean or Hayden or these defensive midfielders.
Right.
I'll differentiate in the mid to high range.
I think that's the right build. There's really nobody at the bottom I'm considering.
Right. Now it's forward.
Mm-hmm. If there was no salary, you could play any two, who would you play?
It's tough. I mean, even that is tough. If there was no salary and I could play any two,
mm-hmm.
I'd still think I'd play two of Aubameyang, Pepe, or Richarlison.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Aubameyang is in that thought.
He's minus 200 to score.
Yeah.
Who has a floor here? There's no floors. What am I doing? If I'm playing down at midfield and getting value there, like I have the money. So it's a matter of who do I want to play of this group? Of let's go from like 7K up. Aubameyang, Pepe, Richarlison, Vardy, Calvert-Lewin, Nketiah, Lacazette, depending on who's in. Biyako, Bakayu Saka. At 7,000 in a forward spot that he shouldn't even be forward eligible. Like, no one has floors here.
Yeah.
And then, like, you could say, like, oh, Saka has the highest floor. He also has the lowest ceiling. And I'm paying 7,000 to fill my forward spot.
Yeah, I'm not even sure he does have
his floor. Is right. Floor, I'm just like, it's right. But I'm looking at this going, like, why don't I just take who's more likely to score?
Yeah.
And of course, Arsenal being heavily favored over Norwich, they'll have the Pookie ball more and shoot more.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't gone down lower than that. I'm just staying on the high end of the spectrum. But like,
I think we are
Ron, and you go like, sure, I guess 6,400, but like, he doesn't even fit in bills unless Madison's in.
Right. Yeah, I think the difficulty with the guys in this upper range is because they don't really have no floors. The floors are like four.
Aubameyang's floor is like maybe 6 to 8.
Right, right.
But I mean, you're paying 10-3.
Sure. The problem is that when you go down, that like under 7,000, maybe under, I'll give Almiron the benefit of the doubt. So under 6,400, those guys are actually zero.
Right.
And so you're paying 3,000, 2,000 to 3,000. Knowing you're getting at least four. Like, I just don't think there's a path where you look at your two forwards and you're like, I'm okay with this. I don't need to pay up at all. So now you're like, now I have to pay up for one. Like, I actually think there's a reasonable path to fading Madison, even if he starts. Because the forwards are so bad.
Right. And also you have to think when it comes to just in cash contests in general, if Alba is going to be 50%+ owned, if more people are going to make that construction, like, I don't think it hurts you to play him.
Sure. Do you think 1,300 is close enough where people who have Richarlison are like, I'll just pay up for Aubameyang?
That's probably what you should do. I think you're. If Madison's out, I think you're playing. I think you're playing two of these guys.
Yeah.
I think you're playing. You're playing two Arsenal forwards. I mean, if Lacazette's in or Nketiah, who says they are not bad options? Right.
Sure.
Just play two of the Arsenal. Whoever's forward eligible for Arsenal, play two of them. But Charleston let everyone down last week.
Mm-hmm.
At $1,400 less against Norwich.
Yeah.
There's a better team. I mean, I don't mind Richarlison. But I think that's where you're going, because I'm looking down here going, like, what's the dinky do? Iwobi Danjuma? Solanke? Because Solanke could be in, because Josh King is banged up. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to play two. I'm going to play Danjuma and Solanke, 4,200, 4,000, dinky do. Like, if Madison's out, like, there's no reason to play these guys.
Right.
Like, these are guys that you would put in one spot if you're doing a Madison Richie lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be fine.
I don't think it's fine.
That's why I said the word could.
Mm-hmm.
But if those guys are out, if Madison and Richie are out, like, you shouldn't be. These are GPP plays. These are Solanke. Like, if Solanke's starting up top and he's 4,000, okay, you know, playing for a goal, he has no floor. I think, and low goal scoring upside.
Yeah, I think there's enough on the lower end that you could even. I'm not sure Richie matters as much as I thought I did at the beginning.
But you have GPP plays. You can play Pookie. You can play Dwight Gale if he's starting, or Andy Carroll, whoever starts up top. Joe Linton. Those guys. Iheanacho could start in the 10 underneath Vardy. You can play him at 5,400. But these guys have, like, they've zero floor. Like, you need a goal. You're pairing them up with people. I think the Arsenal forward ownership is going to be, that's where it's going to be concentrated. It's going to be Arsenal and Everton forwards.
Two teams that never disappoint, thankfully.
Of course not.
Are you more likely to play Lacazette or Calvert-Lewin?
More likely to play Lacazette. Because if Alba and Lacazette are in together, it reduces Lacazette's ownership. Typically, that's how they play. I mean, I don't think Alba is not going to play.
Right. It's amazing that we've had this much of a conversation talking about higher priced forwards and how their floors really aren't that high, and we literally have not said the name Gylfi Sigurdsson yet.
Because I don't think he starts.
To show how much he's fallen. If he starts, would you play him?
He's an option.
No, he's not.
Why not? Everyone's an option. But I put him in the same breath as Miguel Almiron, of like, okay, a guy that, he's not a center forward or anything like that. And then you go, like, what's his realistic floor? Four? Like, what am I paying? Why, I have the money.
Yeah.
And you also have the money, depending on your build. Like, you could even pay up twice a defender.
Yeah, sure can. I think I don't think, like, I think you're only doing it because you have the money. I don't think it's necessarily what,
right.
Like, you shouldn't be building for two high priced defenders.
Right.
I'll put it that
way. I think there's one high priced defender that's worth paying for, and then everyone else is efficiently priced.
Yep.
Or overpriced. Like, as Lucas Digne is 7,200, you plug him in.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone is either. Everyone underneath him in the entire defender pool, barring some surprise starter or something like that, I think is either efficiently priced or overpriced.
Totally agree. Every single one of them.
Chilwell is overpriced at 6,200.
I think he's appropriately priced if Madison doesn't start.
Right.
And he's underpriced.
But I mean, he's not heavily. I still think he should be the second highest priced defender.
Yes.
But I still think he should be like 5,700 and not 6,200.
I think he's underpriced if Madison and Tielemans don't start.
Right, because then Chilwell will probably jump on at least corners on one side.
He might, yeah.
Right. But like the Arsenal fullbacks are should never be over 5,000.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't care they're playing Norwich. 5,700 and 5,200?
Mm-hmm.
They don't cross.
Yeah, I think, just like you said, everybody... Rico might be underpriced if he starts.
Right, if he starts, but he hasn't in right. forever. But I'm not paying $4,700 for Mankio. $4,900 for Seamus Coleman. Justin probably is $300-$400 overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you fall on any of these guys, it's not like they're bad. Just that they're not worth, like, I look at my second defender slot as whatever, I look at whatever's left.
Yeah.
And which includes center backs. Because obviously the popular cheap fullback is going to be Adam Smith, $3,700.
Mm-hmm.
That, but if you're building a lineup and it's like, oh, I like everything and I was able to pay up at I want to pay up at goalkeeper or whatever, or you pay down and you have your last defender spot and you only have $3,300, don't think in terms of I need to find the $400 to get up to Adam Smith.
Right.
Right, like that's how I view it. If you want to play Keane, if you want to play Rob Holding if he's in, I mean, Yerry Mina should be back. $3,200, Johnny Evans, who cares at this point? I'd rather play a favored center back. But the floor difference is not going to it's not going to matter.
Right. Yeah, it's that's it. Yep.
Goalkeeper depends on one player. It hinges on if one guy starts.
Wow. Who?
It hinges. David Luiz.
Oh. I mean, honestly, if he doesn't start, do you actually prioritize Martinez?
On this slate, yeah. It's a shorter slate. Smaller slates, more likely to pay up. Larger slates, more likely to pay down. I don't trust either goalkeeper in the Bournemouth-Newcastle game.
Me neither. 5,000 for Ramsdale.
Like, right.
I think Schmeichel is the best play on the slate.
Yeah, if I were to choose a lower price goalkeeper, it would be Schmeichel.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Dubrovka is not bad either.
Right.
I mean,
like, I don't think there's a Tim Krul slate.
Correct. I agree with that.
Right. Just that Bournemouth-Newcastle game. It could be 0-0.
Sure.
But it also could be 2-0 in either direction. I mean, like, in either direction. Yeah. I no idea. At least on the Leicester-Everton game, it's like, it's more than likely I'm not playing guys that I need ceilings from. I could play Tielemans with Pickford. I could play Digne with Schmeichel.
I haven't run my game projections yet for this Bournemouth-Newcastle game, but I can assure you the 2-0 scoreline is not going to be expected on either side.
No, but I also expect Arsenal to beat Norwich.
Sure.
So if I have the money, like I'm thinking in terms of, do I play Adam Smith and Dubrovka, or do I play Justin at 5,000? No, do I play Justin at 5,000 and Dubrovka and 4,500, or do I play Adam Smith and Martinez? And because to me, that second defender spot matters the least. It's like I'll take the goalkeeper in this given situation. Mm-hmm. On a 3-game slate. If this was a 6-game slate, I wouldn't as much, because if Arsenal winning clean sheet, I'm expecting Martinez to be high enough owned that the highest scoring goalkeeper is going to be necessary.
Are you more likely to have Martinez if you have Aubameyang and Pepe, or does having Martinez make you think you can get away with Richarlison or somebody else?
It could. I mean, that's the concept that we've talked about before of, like, if you miss out on the goal, you're getting the goal's worth of points from the clean sheet win.
Right.
From your goalkeeper. I mean, that typically I refer to that for, like, Ederson of Man City.
Mm-hmm.
But typically that's if you're not taking the second option.
Right.
So like, you
play
it's not a bad
Aubameyang.
Right, if I'm going to play, like, Vardy. Oh, do I play Aubameyang Lacazette? Or do I play Aubameyang Calvert-Lewin? Right. Or do I play Pepe? Like, it's not if I'm not taking any Arsenal. Like, who else are you paying for up there? It's a matter of, like, if I'm going to fade, it's more likely if I fade Aubameyang that I'm going to play Martinez. Like, I don't care. I don't think I care as much of, if I'm going to play Aubameyang, and instead of playing Lacazette and Kedia or Pepe, depending on who's in, I'm playing Richarlison, well, then I need Martinez. It's like, no, really, the high upside goal scorer is I'm not playing Aubameyang. Because if he scores two goals, it's more likely that Martinez is getting points for at least a win.
Yep.
But I'm not. It's more the aspect on this slate that it is only a three-game slate, which means goalkeeper ownership is going to be more condensed, and that if Madison is not in and Wendy is not in and Richie's not in, it's just that you have the money.
Right.
Where do you prioritize that? I mean, goalkeeper variance is high. I mean, normally I would say, you know, who cares a goalkeeper? But I think the second defender spot on this slate is very similar.
Yeah, that's the who cares.
Right. The variance of who you pick in the second, who knows? But I think it's more likely that Arsenal, if I had to choose between being correct on two different things, one, picking out of 10 defenders between 3,700 and 5,000, who's going to score the most points? And who at goalkeeper is going to get a win? I think I'm more optimistic that I'll get the goalkeeper win correct than get the right defender.
Right. Yeah, I see that.
But it's only because of Martinez. It's like all the other goalkeepers, I can't guarantee a win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, guarantee. I'm just like, I mean, what are Arsenal's win? I mean, Arsenal's win odds right now are 66%. Clean sheet, 42%. Once you pass Arsenal, Bournemouth is 39%.
It's all the same.
Right, clean sheet 35. Right, if I have the money, I'm just, okay, let me get the goalkeeper win equity rather than find a defender that gets the difference between 3 and 8 points
right.
on a given day.
Hmm. Yep, that makes sense.
But I think in GPP, I think Vardy is the underowned forward. Would
sure.
you agree?
Yeah. I was just looking
in,
at
that,
others.
In that top. In that group, yeah. Right, in that group. I think Calvert-Lewin actually gets more ownership than Vardy.
He might.
But I think it's ours. In GPPs, if you're going to stack Arsenal, you got to get different elsewhere. And if you're stacking Arsenal and going, I'm stacking Arsenal and taking Tielemans and Stanislas, build a different lineup.
Right.
Like, I don't know, especially for this $16 Wednesday winger, you know, million to first, whatever, billion to first, and seventh set of steak knives, whatever.
This one's like, actually not that bad.
Eh. But I just don't think you're going to be different enough if it comes out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you find the one the Ben Mee of the slate.
Right.
Like, it just happens that the cash construction actually ends up being the best construction for GPP, other than instead of playing Adam Smith, you played the $3,200 defender that scored a header goal on a set piece.
Sure. That, like, center back's probably more likely to score than Adam Smith.
That's absolutely correct. But that's why I said, like, the GPP construction, like, I'm more likely to go down the middle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm more likely, if Lacazette's in, to play Lacazette instead of Aubameyang at 7,300. And then just go down the, like, where Lacazette at 7,300 is, like, my highest price guy. Because I'm playing, like, Lacazette and Saint-Maximin and Harvey Barnes and Lucas Digne and then Ben Chilwell. Like, I'm going right down the 6 to 7K range.
Yep.
Doesn't mean that's the best build. I'm just saying that that'll be the different build. But I think two Arsenal forwards in GPP is going to be chalk.
Agreed.
There's only because there's multiple options. I mean, look. It's quite possible four of them start, right? Not all five.
Which,
like I said, and Nketiah won't play together.
Right, right.
That's right, but it's quite possible that, you know, Kasaka's forward eligible, so I have to throw him in.
Mm-hmm.
There's five Arsenal forward eligible players, and four of them could start together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which two are going to do? Who knows? Norwich won 1-0, so that's what's going to end up happening. That's why you got to see if David Luiz is in.
Mm-hmm.
I could say Mustafi also. I could say most of their centers.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, if Xhaka's in, there's going to be a penalty, so I assume Pukki's on penalties for Norwich. Ugh. Oh, well. Anybody has any follow-up for Jordan, you can find him on Twitter at Blenderhead, has Blender HD. I am at RotoWire Andrew, also available in the RotoWire Discord, just open vault subscribers. Just go to rotowire.com/chat to join. Had a few new people come in who are still learning how to use all of our cheat sheets and other tools. So if you have any questions, feel free to hit me up there. Pretty much always in there. So Jordan, thank you for all that and good luck on Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.